fear, fearing fear, fearing fear. There's a siren screaming in my ear. Election days are colder when pushing from the rear is fear, fearing fear, fearing fear. And friends, I've never seen it quite so thick. Minds of clay are now of brick. Montana, Oklahoma, no, revolution is never near. With fear, fearing fear, fearing fear.
Hello, friends. I'm Blaise Bonpane, and welcome to World Focus. We have just experienced an inductive study of how we are not represented. Calls to every congressional office have come in from 25 to 1 up to 1,000 to 1 against the pending war in Iraq. But what difference should that make? It's only the will of the sovereign people of the United States who are demanding peace. Since when did they count? Since when did they matter? Friends, what we are witnessing is the final takeover of the United States by the military, industrial, prison, and gun complex. They don't care what you want. Your representatives do not represent. They do not dissent. They do not oppose. They are indistinguishable from the rubber stamps of any tin pot dictatorship. In order to stay in power, they are not willing to exercise the power they have. You have witnessed a cynical disregard for the Constitution of the United States. Mr. Bush has no constitutional power to declare war anywhere. But if this precedent continues, he will illegally be given power to declare war everywhere. The Supreme Court, however, has the power to declare this congressional resolution unconstitutional, which it must do. Aside from the national crime of disregarding the Constitution, Mr. Bush is committing an international crime against peace by his endless threats of preemptive strikes. Planned assassination is also an international crime against peace. Mr. Bush is now solely in charge of International Murder Incorporated. Congresspeople, wouldn't it be better to go back to your used car lot with self-respect and confidence that you did the right thing? Wouldn't it be better to go back to your law firm with some integrity rather than to remain a prostitute for mass murder? Each and every one of the congressional corporate lackeys who voted for the war resolution must be replaced. They have betrayed their sacred trust. They have betrayed their oath of office. They have betrayed the people of the United States, and they have betrayed the Constitution. Perhaps it's fortunate that they approved of this massacre before election time. Now it is up to us to give them an electoral response of no confidence, no respect, and no future. Quite simply, they are either with us or they are fired. They are marching in a trance with a serial killer who walked through Texas signing death warrants for the mentally ill and the poorly represented, leading to one of the largest frenzies of cold-blooded state-sponsored killings in our country. And now the fear merchant continues to sell his wares. Bush has become a master of the ghost story and tales of horror. His eyes flash back and forth as he tells lies about a destroyed nation. George Bush forgot to talk about the danger of our weapons of mass destruction. George forgot to talk about our chemical and biological warfare capability. He forgot to talk about the extreme danger of accident with these weapons of mass destruction. He also forgot to talk about how his bloodthirsty policy will manufacture more terrorists. We don't wonder about whether Pakistan, India, Israel, and China have nuclear weapons of mass destruction. We know they do. The madness of our attack on Iraq will give these states the go-ahead for their own first-strike actions. So we now prepare for the largest demonstrations in decades. Yes, October 26th in San Francisco and Washington, D.C. For information on these historic demonstrations, call 213-487-2458. 213-487-2458. It would be so much easier if our representatives would represent us. They have given us their answer, and now we must give them ours. Help us to make these two demonstrations the largest in the history of the United States. Our integrity as a nation has been destroyed internally. We, as a sovereign people, have the power to redeem our fallen state. After some great music, I have the pleasure of introducing one of the world's best-known celebrities, Edward Asner.
If ever there was sense, this is the end. Dole returns, even money, saying it just might be queer. Fear, fearing fear, fearing fear. Just look at any war and you will see. King Herod, Bosnia, 39 in Germany. In each their own time, in each their own gear. They had fear, fearing fear, fearing fear. Buchanan, Duke, Gingrich, Limbaugh, Helms. Creeping like Freddy on streets of Helms. Stealing the wheel for a car they cannot steer. With fear, fearing fear, fearing fear.
I'm very privileged today to have with us in the studio Edward Asner. Ed, you've received so many Emmys that we've lost count. Lou Grant was one of the most popular programs in the history of television. Why did that series end?
Oh, I became outspoken on El Salvador, and at the same time as president of SAG, SAG was about to absorb the extras whose union had folded, and a number of people, stars, stuntmen, and day players were concerned both about their prestige at associating with extras in the same union. And the smaller people were worried about their jobs being taken by extras. So they made a lot of noise and convinced a lot of people, and they stymied it in two different elections we staged. In the meantime, the controversy over that, the controversy over my heading up, along with others, Medical Aid for El Salvador, and by innuendo, being tagged a commie, led to the cancellation. First, there were sponsors who pulled out, Kimberly Clark, Vidal Sassoon, Cadbury's, and that was followed by the network canceling the show. So there was a gray period there of a few years when jobs were not immediately available, and I knew of it. I knew that I was being written off because there were two instances that I knew of. So if I knew of two instances, then of course it reflects, it's like an iceberg.
But you went ahead, Ed, and I'm just wondering, why is it that critical thinking is so clearly excluded from the mass media? And second question might be, why is war so popular? It seems that when we get into critical thinking, the media doesn't want to deal with it.
Well, this country has a record of, I think, as you say, the military-industrial complex. This country is pouring billions, trillions into the war effort. And it's always worked before, at least in distracting the public and keeping certain parts of the economy, the war economy, going. I don't think it's working this time.
I don't think it is either, no. Ed. We're getting tremendous support from people we didn't expect,
no,
people that are
yeah.
really upset about this and have been ever since September 11th.
Well, the interesting thing is that they're making this massive output, and attempting to spread hysteria among the people. 9-1-1 scared the hell out of American
yes.
people, dying on American soil by foreign terrorists.
Yes.
So the people are perplexed. I made a good reference the other night. I said in 1840, a bunch of the boys down in Texas took the Alamo, which was on Mexican territory. And then Santa Anna came in with a bunch of troops to protect the Mexican territory, and they destroyed the Alamo, at least the people in it. So that spread hysteria throughout the country, and we had Remember the Alamo.
Yes.
Like Remember the Maine. So the Americans sent a huge force down there and took back, among other things, the state of Texas and New Mexico and California. So they had to find the archfiend Santa Anna to complete the job, and they eventually did, and they killed him. Well, now we move forward to 9-1-1, and Americans are once again shocked, and hysteria spread throughout the country. And the archfiend is first Osama bin Laden, and they can't find him. So eventually they make a lovely segue to Saddam Hussein and Iraq. And they busily set out to destroy Iraq, and I suppose take their oil fields in the process, while making Saddam Hussein the archfiend. And it probably won't be complete until they take Iraq and kill the archfiend, Saddam Hussein. Well, my conclusion to all this is, every time there is spread national hysteria in this country, why does it always come out of Texas?
You know, almost every war has had a contrivance of some kind. Abe Lincoln was so opposed to that war with Mexico that he almost was not elected president because he was a peacenik. General Grant was opposed to it. He wasn't a general
Absolutely.
At the time, but he said, never has a great nation so attacked a weak nation. He was General Robert E. Lee was opposed to it. This is long before the Civil War. The three greats all opposed the war with Mexico. I think we're getting a breakthrough, Ed, in the media. Today's New York Times quotes Michael Kinsley as saying, quote, "The Bush campaign for war against Iraq has been insulting to American citizens, not just because it has been dishonest, but because it has been unserious. A lie is insulting. An obvious lie is doubly insulting." I thought that was quite
very good. Yeah. But Kinsley, of course, is something of a lefty from way back. It would be nice to have an article like that by a conservative. Mm-hmm. Of course, Kevin Phillips is the one who has really pointed out the corporate differentiation from the common people and how enormously separated the rich have become from the poor.
Yes,
I'm heartened by the fact that though this Iraq adventure was created to divert us from the elections and the sinking economy. Today, an Enron manager did disclose that they did screw California on the energy.
Oh, yeah.
So that in spite of the Iraq news, the energy trickery and hoodlumism is being exposed with all of the war preparation. And secondly, I had to laugh when questioned the other day, North Korea said, "Yeah, we're making atom bombs. So what?" And the United States was so befuddled by this. Oh, my God, we got Iraq over here who doesn't have atomic bombs. But here's North Korea saying, "Yeah, we got them. So what?" And what's the United States going to do? They can't fight a two-front war, can they?
It reminds me of what Che Guevara said. I was in Latin America when he was assassinated, and he said, "Look, you guys, you've got 500,000 troops in Vietnam." This was in 1967. He said, "You've got 500,000 troops there. They don't have an air force. You have an air force. You have all kinds of weapons which they don't have, and you're losing." And he said, "What's going to happen when you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Vietnams?" The implication was we would disintegrate as Rome did, as Greece did, as the Aztecs did, as the Mayans did, as Spain did, as England did. We're in the same pattern. The last phase of every empire seems to be of militarism, and that is
sad. The point I wanted to make earlier is they've geared up as usual with all of these trillions for defense and for actually offense, but they can't see what they have unleashed is a kind of war that they have never fought before. Yeah. We have never fought before. Yeah. The thing in Indonesia, the car bomb in Indonesia, which was out to kill Australians, yeah. and by God, they killed at least 100. And that's the kind of war. Mm-hmm. And all the trillions they're going to spend is not going to stop the kind of war that this country will now face with the various terrorist acts in this country. And can you imagine how many Americans are going to go overseas on vacation? How unsafe they're going to be from here on.
Yeah. Chalmers.
With a billion Muslims in the world and a certain proportion of them certainly vowed to revenge the Palestinian debacle and what the United States is doing over there. There's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah, there is. I was thinking of Chalmers Johnson's article in today's L.A. Times, I believe, where he's the author of Blowback. And he says, you know, for every action, there's a reaction. And just as the CIA told the president last week that an attack on Iraq will mean possibly much more terrorism mm-hmm. in the United States. Mm-hmm. They tried to warn him of that,
yeah.
and he doesn't seem to get the message. General Zuni was saying, don't get into it. General Scowcroft was saying, don't get into it. Henry Kissinger was saying, don't get into it. And he's proceeding. One thing that worries me, and see if you are in sync with my thoughts on this, I'm very concerned about the relationship between young Bush and Jerry Falwell and mm-hmm. Pat Robertson, as they become, this is so strange to me, as they have become Christian Zionists and have gone over to support Mr. Sharon with the idea that if they do this and if Sharon wins, that Jesus is going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't believe this.
That's what drives me nuts. Right-wingers, I don't care what Rush Limbaugh, pompous ass, might say, but Falwell and Robertson both made these horrible statements that 9/11 was due to gays and leftists
yes.
creating the atmosphere for the destruction of those towers.
Exactly.
And then they had to quickly cover their ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now Falwell has said that Muhammad was a terrorist.
Yeah.
And now he's had to issue, and by God, the Islamic states have bought his lame excuse. Now, if any liberal had done that, they would haunt them for 8 years for making such a statement. But these guys froth at the mouth, spit out whatever they want, and they get away with it and are forgiven eventually. I'm appalled at it. I'm appalled at it.
I am too, you know, and there was another art.
Let me break in there. I got a letter the other day from Walter Cronkite. I mean, a staid senior citizen and a revered Solon. Mm-hmm. He was writing for the Interfaith Council. I think that's the name of it. It's a mass collection of the moderate churches in the country. I don't know if it includes synagogues as well or not. But he was talking about the threat to take over this country by the Christian fundamentalists and right-wing Republicans, and that this threat has to be stopped. I was amazed that this man, who was always known as, you know, a middle-of-the-road,
yes.
but very honest, is actually forwardly discussing this threat.
This is what Bush is doing, according to Paul Krugman. He speaks of the repetition of the big lie.
Mm.
And I think that that's what both Bush and Falwell and Robertson are doing. Krugman mentions that 25% of the income tax cuts going to people who make more than $200,000 a year, and that the estate tax was only applies to about 0.1% of the estates in the country, and that all of this means that ultimately 40% of the tax cuts going to 1% of the population, and Bush simply evades it. He won't accept it. Krugman says at least Reagan would acknowledge that this was true, but Bush won't. They simply deny the facts, in contrast to Reagan, who did not deny what he was doing. What I'm saying is that I see the big lie being used by all of these people, and it's very disturbing, especially to mess around with the idea of what's going to bring about the return of Jesus. I don't think there are any, in fact, I'm sure, there are none of the reputable Catholic or Protestant mainline churches that support this really bizarre thinking about trying to create a war, literally, between Judaism and Islam, implying that that's going to lead to Armageddon, and Armageddon's going to lead to Jesus coming back. So let's kill everybody. Now, they don't seem to know that many Arabs are Christians. They don't even seem to be aware of that. There's a level of ignorance here that's very disturbing.
Well, the ignorance to such an extent that very few Americans know that it was either while he was governor or just not long before he was governor that George Bush made the statement that Jews can't get into heaven.
Oh, that's great. That's that's very brilliant.
I think he's mealy-mouthed that statement since, but it stands there on the record.
Absolutely pathetic kind of shallowness that is so disturbing. It's called the banality of this kind of evil. Really, and it is worrisome to say the least. Now, we've got tremendous power now in the peace movement. I'm just seeing all kinds of amazing things. The voices in the wilderness are sending people to Iraq that are going to stay there through the duration of this war. They're just ordinary citizens from the United States. Witness for Peace is sending people to Colombia. We've had so many demonstrations before the war that we've never had before. We're expecting a massive turnout in San Francisco and Washington on October 26th. And all of that is really quite exciting. I just hope that we might be approaching that particular moment when those in government might understand what's going on.
I was amazed at our march here a couple of weeks ago.
It was massive.
We got 10,000 out there.
That's so unusual for Los Angeles.
Oh, God, yes.
Los Angeles is very hard organized. We have no center.
The best. I saw, the usual poster, drop Bush, not bombs. But then the one that really grabbed me was little gal standing on the corner after the march was over, still holding out her little billboard, and it said, "War is good for big business. Invest your sons."
Yes, that's it. I think that we should have the House and the Senate and the whole administration be the first in the first wave, carrying their muskets, and then we might have a different situation.
And but, I would hope that as you and I plan to do, that our listeners will take the effort to make note of the senators and the and the representatives who voted aye in supporting Bush, with that crap of standing by the president, and make note of it and remember that when they reach for their wallet for any of these bums or to vote for them. Please remember that and don't forget these guys.
I have high hopes that there's going to be a response at the ballot box on November 5th to what has happened. People know what's going on and they realize they've been betrayed. They weren't making those phone calls for the fun of it. They were making them because they were horrified that we're closing 15 clinics in Los Angeles. We can't afford $800,000 for those clinics. That's for all of them. And the price of one B-2 bomber is $1 billion. Less than one B-2 bomber would keep 15 clinics open in Los Angeles, which are closing. This is unacceptable in the richest city, in the richest state, in the richest country in the world. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're going through. Italy can develop, can give health care. We can't. France can give health care to all. Canada can, and we can't afford it. It's very obvious why we can't afford it. So we've got work to do. Ed, you've been on our board for
well over a decade. And I want to thank you for that. You've been on the board of the Office of the Americas.
Well, and, it's done more for me than it has for you.
Well, we are just so grateful to you, and you've been there for us all this length of time. We're coming up with our 19th anniversary on November the 2nd, and we're so happy that you're going to be part of that. And it's been a long friendship, and how the years have gone by, from issues of Central America to issues of Colombia, and now the entire Middle East is just on fire. And we hope to see a peaceful resolution to all of this. We know that you're certainly a part of that.
Central America is still not over.
No.
I mean, Guatemala has descended once again into the swamp, whereby forensic experts are under threat of life and out of fear have been forced to leave the country to even identify the people in the graves.
Indeed. They've terrified them from going near those graves because they're mass graves. Mm. There's tens of thousands of people in those graves. We just had Senator Ninette Montenegro here, who was the foundress of the GAM, the Grupo Apoyo Mutuo, who had been demonstrating all during the worst of the massacres out in the streets, nonviolently, and now she's a senator. Edward, we are so deeply grateful for your presence today. And I want to thank my wonderful engineer, Nathan. Thank you for being here. And my producer, Lisa Smithline. And for a transcript of this program, you can call the Office of the Americas at 323-852-9808. And if you have a final word for our people, Edward, this is your chance.
You know, vote right on the holiday. And We've got them stumbling. Let's keep up the factors and find the ways to make them stumble more.
I think we're winning, Ed, and I think we'll continue to win. It's been a joy to have you with us. This is Blaise Bond Payne, and the program is World Focus.
Each prophet that walked the world agreed. Pick anyone that you please. They say invite difference, and away we'll surely veer from fear, fearing fear, fearing fear.